Hello and welcome to How's the Josh podcast show. I'm Omkar Chaudhary, your host. You don't know how much I'm excited today because the guest is damn special. He's handsome, extremely talented, and he has the art to play with lights, camera, and scenes. You don't take a photograph, you make one. You bring to the act of photography all the pics you have seen, the books you have read, music you have heard, the people you have loved. By now, you must have guessed. The guest for today is a master of camera to bring life to the still photographs. He's creative, he's smart. He's Andrew Kneebone. Welcome, Andrew, to the show.
Hi, and I am excited to be here. Thank you very much for having me. And that, wow, that's a great intro. That's really, I'm sitting here listening to you talk about that going, wow, is that me? Is that that person you're talking about? I'm humbled. Thank you.
Thank you, and we are really happy to have you on the show, Andrew. And before we begin, how's Andrew?
Andrew is excited.
Lovely. This is, I think, the perfect emotion for us to start with the podcast. So let's get started.
Absolutely. I am keen.
So I would really love to ask you, Andrew, the first thing is that when we look down to your childhood, how would you say, like, you know, was it a passion right from the childhood that you wanted to be a photographer? So if we trace back the route to the childhood, could you please elaborate on your passion to become a photographer?
Absolutely. But listen, in order for the, us and listeners out there, firstly, hi, out there, I need to take you to a place, okay? And if you're in front of a computer right now, it'll kind of help because I'm going to take you to a place that you've probably never ever heard of, and it's a town called Baruga, Baroga, and it's in the country part of the country part of Australia. It's an incredibly small town. It's only got about 1,000 people, and that's where I grew up. And it's on the border of a river, and the golf course is larger than the town itself. And that's where I grew up. And you know when they say that when you grow up, and the place where you grow up kind of defines who you are. That's me. And photography for me was always one of those passions that was out there. My dad was into photography a lot. You know, I have a lot of memories of him really being passionate about sort of taking a photo of a flower or a bee or even the family and stuff like that. And that sort of rubbed off. And, you know, I used to watch him with this magical, you know, machinery that was mystical. And I had no idea how it worked. And I'd go over to my dad and go, "Can I try it?" And he'd be like, "No, don't touch it." Because he was one of those serious kind of guys. "Don't touch it. Just sit over there." And I'm like, "Oh, I want to touch it." And eventually he gave me, you know, one of those old Kodak, like, disposable cameras? You know those ones where you could take the film and you got, like, 24 photos? That was it. And that was my first experience. And I remember taking, like, the worst photos. I think I took a photo of the toilet. Of all things, it was terrible. Anyway, but it was there, and it really bit, and that sort of stayed there, and didn't, you know, it was part of the childhood, but it didn't really go anywhere. Nothing happened, but then this wonderful world of digital photography came about, and I'd like to honestly say that it was one of those moments where, you know, I decided what I want to do, and I went down that path, and come hell or high water, that's what I was going to do, damn it. But it's not. It's one of those ones where I took a photo. I bought a camera because I thought, yeah, it'd be cool, capture some memories. And I took a photo. And without sort of sounding arrogant, it was actually pretty good. And I went, huh, that looked pretty good. And the digital photography allowed you to get that instant feedback, right? It allowed you to see whether you were actually taking a great photo or not. And I took a photo and I showed my friends and they thought it was pretty cool. And the bug bit, that same sort of passion for photography and creating that moment really took off. And it was one of those ones where I wanted to do it. I wanted to pursue it. I left, you know, Baruga. I went down to Melbourne. I went to college, pursued that sort of, you know, life. I did a bunch of things in college that either, one, I don't remember, or B, probably best I don't speak of it. Let's call it a crazy year where you do a lot of things where you learn about yourself. And I did all that stuff, and then photography was always there along the way. Now, have you ever looked at a photo that's like 20, 30 years old?
Yeah, Phil, I have.
Right, and especially like ones of yourself, you know, when you look at that photo, it always is a wonderful moment, isn't it?
Exactly.
So
I think the beauty of photography is something like, you know, once the moment that is captured is there with you for always.
Yeah.
I think that's the beauty of it.
The saying I've got is it's the closest thing we have to a time machine. It really is.
Yeah.
Right? And sadly, obviously, we can't take a photo of the future, but you can take a photo of the past. And one thing I decided to, which, you know, when I started on my, you know, passion, which would then go into a career. But the passion was there and the foundation was there, which is I want to capture, you know, a memory. And right. I want to capture the memory and I want to capture, you know, the way it is and the way that you see it and the eye and stuff like that. And you know, I branched out to other things later on, as you can sort of tell, but I sort of started with that. That foundation of that was capture the memory. And I take a lot of photos that no one will ever see because they are just for my friends. They are just for my family. And a lot of those photos are there. And I'll often go to a party, bring a camera, and I'll just take photos and have a great time. And they are there to capture memories. And the idea of those photos being that photo that someone's going to look at in 30 years' time and look back and go, wow, I look a lot younger. But it's really great that you know, someone was there to capture it, you know, for how it was. And then that sort of started the passion for me. And then the frustration kicked in because I noticed a lot of photographers out there were taking photos in low light situations that didn't really resemble the low light. And I really wanted to make it so when I capture a photo when it's in nighttime, it's exactly how the eye sees it. And that really embarked me on a specific journey and a specific set of cameras to really try and capture that. And it's gotten pretty easy these days because cameras are really, really sensitive. I mean, we've got cameras that are in our phones that can do it these days. But back when I started, you really had to choose your path down the correct path in order to do it. And of course, it was, you know, incredibly expensive. But that's how I started. It was a humble beginnings in a country town, and you know, watch my father. Maybe that was the beginning. I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm absolutely proud to be a geek and proud to be a nerd. And all the gadgetry around photography and stuff like that was something which I was fascinated with. And then I went down that path of capturing memories, and that's where the bug bit, and it'll never go out, which is a wonderful thing. And so that's how I sort of started on my journey.
Lovely. I think, like, you know, growing from a small family in Australia and then pursuing your education to photography and learning and understanding what photography is, I think this has always been your aim. And I think so beautifully you just told us, like, you know, I literally went into an imagination. I was thinking of all the things. Lovely. I think the answer was really very lovely. I could really imagine the way you've evolved all through these years.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
Also, like, Andrew, I really want to ask you, like, what are you working on off lately these days?
So these days, okay. So I do a lot of work in relation to, you know, portraits and stuff like that. And I stumbled across something that has quickly become a huge passion of mine. And as you know, I come and go from India quite a lot. And you know, it's always that cliche, you know, when someone comes to a country, they'll always say, I love the place so much, blah, 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 right? And you just go, do you really? Or are you just saying it? I genuinely love India. Like, I really do. Like, I really,
lovely.
Oh no, I really do. Like, and every single time, you know, when I first came here, because you got to imagine, again, I'm a little country guy and I come from Australia and there's not, you know, there's not a massive population in Australia. So it's very easy to be completely by yourself. So when I first came to India, it was, you know, a lot of people, stuff like that. But the chaos, the beautiful, you know, cobblestone roads, again, Australia, we, you know, the European history of Australia is not that old. I mean, if you go to the Aboriginal times, it's, you know, 70,000 years, but the European's not that old. So we don't have a lot of landmarks and stuff and some really cool things. And yeah, we have culture, but my God, do you guys have culture? Like, wow.
Yeah.
So when I came here, yeah, I loved it. So, and I'm sort of getting to the thing. The beautiful thing about a podcast, right, is you can go as long as you want. There is no show. Like, people listening to this right now, sit back and relax because I never answer a question quickly. So,
No, you take your own time. I really enjoy talking with you. So you please continue.
Yeah, I listen to a bunch of podcasts myself and I love the fact when, because it just goes forever and it's great. Anyway, so, and I guess if someone gets bored, you can just, you know, skip ahead. But, Anyway, so I came to India and I would go to coffee shops and I would walk around and stuff like that. And I would literally be, every single time I would step out the door, I would be this likely little tourist, you know. And I've been to Chennai and I've been to Hyderabad and I've been to Delhi and I mean, mainly in Mumbai. And every single time I just walk around star-eyed, just looking at this place going, this is so cool. Anyway, so I was walking along and there was this mural that was being painted, and it was an awesome mural. It's in Bandra, and it's one which was like to unity and diversity, and it was rich colors and it was wonderful. And I was walking to my favorite, you know, coffee shop, and I was like, oh, it's pretty cool. I came back and it was done, and so I sort of stopped on the side of the road and I looked at it and went, that's pretty cool, huh? So I walked on over and I just noticed the rich colors, but the textures sort of spoke to me. And out of the blue, you know, sometimes, again, ideas are planned, and sometimes they just, you know, pop in your head and go, boop. And I just go, I wonder if I took a photo with the iPhone. And everyone knows how much I, you know, love the iPhone and I talk about it and stuff. But I took a photo and I you know, looked on the phone and went, that could work as a wallpaper. And again, this is a non-commercial thing. I've made no money from this whatsoever, right? I'm okay for that. One thing I love about this passion of mine is I'll do things because, well, commercially they're great, but sometimes I just do them because I love them, right? And there's nothing to do with money. It's just passion. So I took a bunch of these photos and I was in the sun for about 3 hours and you know, sweating like crazy. And I got back and I edited these photos and you probably know, I started putting them online and stuff like that. It went nuts. Like, I was blown away with, one, how awesome and supportive everyone here in India is, where they're like, these are great and all that kind of stuff. So it went nuts like that. I did that, and then it got the attention of Apple. They're always incredibly supportive of people with you know, artists and all that kind of stuff. And they sort of, you know, said, this is pretty cool. And I'm like, yeah, okay, thanks, cool. And then I got this message one day that, you know, that Tim Cook like saw the photos and thought they were really cool and just wanted to share them and thought that it was a really cool thing showing sort of a, you know, Mumbai and the colors and all that kind of stuff. And it was really cool. And that was a really cool moment. So back to your question, what's the project? Well, I'm going to do more of these. And again, I'll be doing normal jobs, but I'm going to be releasing stuff like this, but it's going to be one bit, which, yeah, it's cool. It's on your phone and stuff. But when I go to a country, I want to show how awesome that place is. Right? Because I often find that with the news, it's pretty negative. It wouldn't be cool if we just went, I went to this place. It was really cool. It was awesome. It was full of color. It was full of life. And that's the project that I'm working on, besides other stuff as well. That's one of the little passion ones that I sort of love talking about, which again is not really the typical thing people talk about in photography. But that, if you have to ask the question, you know, today, on the 28th of June, that is my most exciting thing right now. I've got a bunch of stuff in about 3 weeks' time. That'll happen then. But right now, that's what I'm loving. I'm off to China soon, so I'll be doing some stuff there. And who knows what'll come out of it.
Wonderful. Like, you know, the way you described India, I think, like, you know, it has a lot of vivid cultures, variety of food and colors, like, you know, put down into our traditions and day-to-day lives. And I really love one thing that you really spoke, like, you know, when we speak about India outside somewhere, like, you know, India is a developing country and many a times it's spoken in a negative aspect, but you are here to, like, you know, show the colors, to show the positivity of the country. I think this is the, I'm really excited and really very thankful to be in conversation with you today.
You know, the strange thing is I hear this term India is a developing country, but it looks pretty developed. You have a space program, you know, that's pretty cool, right? And one of the things I sort of noticed, especially with Mumbai and India as a whole, is whatever India focuses on and attention, you guys dominate. Like, it's a and
thank you. It's a big compliment.
No, you earned it. You really do, right? And you dominate. And one of the ones, the stories I heard was, and this is, you know, I'm big into environmental stuff as well, which is a little side of photography. But I heard there was this, and I should have done the research, but there's a place in India where fishermen are being paid to pull plastic out of the ocean, and they're using the plastic for roads. Like,
yeah, I think it's in Chennai. It's in the south of India. I guess even I've heard about it.
How cool is that? And it's one of those ones where you go, someone must have thought of something. They made it happen, and they're doing it. And yeah, it's really cool. And India is extraordinarily diverse, right? When I honestly, and this is coming from a place of ignorance because I've never been here before, I thought India was like just one country, kind of like Australia. I mean, technically it is, obviously, but India is extremely diverse. It's very diverse. It's got a lot of cultures within cultures within cultures, and yeah, I just it's you can literally drive 100 kilometers north, and there's a whole new set of culture that you can just dive into, and I love it. And the food here is outstanding. It really is, and it's disappointing. Actually, I have one story which is a little aside. I go back to Australia. There is one place where they do a vindaloo. And I'm sorry, but whenever I say vindaloo, my other half, she laughs every time I say the word vindaloo. Apparently, it's funny. Vindaloo. Anyway, yeah, she always cracks up. And chicken tikka masala apparently is another one, which I say in a funny way. Anyway, vindaloo. And there's one place, and they do it just as good as in India, but it's obviously there's Indian expats that are there. I walk in one day and I say, listen, this is just as good as if I ordered it, you know, from the streets of India. And without batting an eyelid, the guy just turns to me and goes, yeah, I know. The chef are like, okay, you're confident. I like that. But yeah, so that's what I'm working on. I'm a passionate. I love India. There's more stuff that's going to come from here. One of the things I want to get into here is capturing weddings here. It's one of the when I see the weddings and the color and stuff like that.
When you speak about weddings, I think India is the big fat tradition that has got of, like, you know, throwing a big wedding around, like, yeah, 1,000 people, 2,000 people.
There's great photographers here, and they're capturing it really, really well. And there's, like, you know, when it's usually a team of photographers that work together, right? But
exactly,
I would love to capture that moment and do it in my way. When I say my way, obviously make sure the bride and groom are completely happy, but I just think my style and that wedding and the Indian wedding fusion together would be really cool. And so that's one of the passion dreams that I'm working on. And I will be literally doing a bunch for nothing to get into it. And then we'll talk about, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, that's one of the future sort of aspirations as well, because the romance in this country is intense, and it's lovely. And I'd love to capture that for the bride and groom. And so they can look on those photos in 30 and 40 years time and look back and go, yeah, that was a really cool day.
Thank Andrew for the beautiful photography and the beautiful light they brought into the photograph.
Oh, it's just, yeah, that'd be really cool. It would be an absolute dream, and it'd be one of those ones where when I do weddings, I'll do weddings in Melbourne. I've done a lot weddings in Melbourne, and they are, you know, I go, you know, all day. It's an exhaustive day, and you sort of have to manage your food and drinking and stuff as well. But it's one of those ones where when you finish it, you got such a high, such a buzz, because you're in a day which is, you've been brought into someone's world. You know, it's the best day of their life, and you're a part of it, right? And you're there to capture it, and it's such an honor. And yeah, I just it would be an absolute dream of mine.
Exactly. And as you spoke about India, you know, India has 29 countries almost, and each and every state has its own way of expressing themselves for happiness, for weddings. Like, you know, each state has its own language.
Yeah.
And each state has its own culture. And I think that's the beauty of India. And whenever if you go down the south of India, you'll find a lot of different weddings as compared to the north of India. So I think in India, you have really got an eye. So, like, you know, as you said, that India is a beautiful country, and not many say that, like, you know, the people from out of the country. So I think you really got an eye, you really got a passion for India, and I really admire about it.
Well, I do need to correct something, because I can at least speak for my friends back in Australia, and they all say India is great.
I'm happy today.
No, I mean, like, yeah, they really do. And this gets back to my point about, you know, talking about a country in a positive light, because the media and the news and stuff like that, you know, a bad news story goes around the world 5 times while a good news story doesn't go anywhere, right?
Right.
And so therefore all the people hear is the bad stuff, because that's all they hear. Right. And yet what I'm here to say is this place is awesome. And one of the things that I've been able to do with the voice that I have is actually say to people, no, man, this place is great. Right? And as far as you know, the food, the culture, even coffee. I mean, coffee's come from nowhere. It was predominantly, obviously, tea in this country, then coffee. But I have honestly tasted the best cup of coffee in India.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. There's a place in Hyderabad, the Roastery Coffee House. And I went there, and if you're there, just it's awesome. And when I say it like that place, don't get me wrong. There's so many places that are outstanding, right? But I've been to a lot of places and around the world, and it's like the best here. And once again, when India focuses on something, they dominate, right? It's
yeah.
Sorry, this is digressing into a We Love India podcast.
But anyway, that's wonderful. All right, all right. So, Andrew, as you said that you're doing, you know, you're into a passion of photography.
Yes.
And you will be pursuing it in the future as well. So here I would really love to ask you, or here's a bit of a curiosity in my mind, that, you know, any passion that we do or we work on or any career that we take on is somewhere like, you know, we see to it that there is some revenue or there is some finance attached
yes.
to it.
Yes.
When it comes to your passion photography, how do you generate the finance, or how do you, like, you know, generate the revenue out of it?
Yep, yeah, of course. And it's a great topic, because with photography, and this is my little tip to all budding photographers out there, because I heard this and I'd like to pay it forward. There was a famous photographer, Trey Radcliffe, and he was an interview many years ago that I listened to him, and his advice was this, right? There always will be another photographer that can do the work for either less money than what you're charging, or they will do it for free because they believe that exposure is a good thing. And we can get to the whole topic of exposure, but they'll do that. However, there is only one you. So choose right. a point of view. Choose a style. It means that other people won't like it. That's okay. But some people will. And if they want that style, they have to hire you. When you get to that point, then you have a position where you can't instantly be replaced by somebody that wants, you know, the saying then was photos by the pound, right? If someone wants just images captured by the pound, well, then go ahead, get someone, and that's exactly what you get. But if you want a photographer that looks a certain way, then you have to hire that person. And that's sort of the foundation block to go into talks and talk to people to say, okay, let's work together. Let's collaborate together. And then you're in a position of being able to, you know, to charge. Because, yeah, look, it is a passion. However, I do see it as sort of two sides of a coin, and I treat equal, you know, each one with equal passion, the business and the passion. Because one, the gear is very expensive. It's crazy expensive, right? And you need it to be self-sustaining. And at the same time, what you are doing has value. And if it has value, then it's valuable. And if it's valuable, well, then it shouldn't be free. It's as simple as that, right?
I get the math.
Yeah. So that was sort of the decision. And then that led me down a path of, well, how do I set up? What do I have to do in order to have the photography my way? Right, have the photography quintessentially Andrew Kneebone-ish, right, and while maintaining and doing what the customer wants, and so that's what I decided to do, and so that's what I do, and literally from there, it's you have to be prepared to you know set your price and have a bunch of people say no, and you know that's just the way it's going to be. However, I have done some if I do believe in a project and. With that, I'll work it. There's actually it's going to sound real serious, but I sort of have a triangle approach to my photography career, and it's this, and it's like a triangle. There's sort of three pillars which I work on. For instance, the first one is it pays well. Okay, great. So therefore, right. you're working a project and it pays well. Fantastic. The second one is okay. If it doesn't pay well, is it great for, you know, potentially spreading the word and either breaking into a new area? And the classic example I was doing with you know Indian weddings. I'm well known in Australia, but no one really knows me for weddings here in India, do they? So I literally go, right, well, unless we find a couple that go, I want a unique wedding style captured by Andrew Kneebone, I'll need to prove myself. So that means I'm going to do something for absolutely nothing. But that means that I can do that.
Exposure.
As we can probably guarantee, I don't need exposure too much, but I just need to have a portfolio that says, I can do it. You can trust me in your day. And being honest, I need to, get that time to understand it. And so when I meet a couple and say, I can capture your wedding, I'm 100% confident. And there's one side of me which is, absolutely and utterly obsessive. And when I do something, I don't muck around. I really, really do it. And if it means that I have some things I need to learn or all the stuff, I'll do that first and then I'll do that. So that usually means go along with another photography crew. You know, they're obviously the shooters for the day, but I get to do my thing as well. That means that I get to do my thing, but they still get their photos from the hired crew, stuff like that. And the third one is if you're not getting paid and if it's not from a marketing side or exposure side, third one is you're learning something. You're doing something that you've never done before, right? And therefore, you as a craft is growing. That could be, any kind of photography, be it a new location, be it new equipment, whatever. And so that's sort of the three pillars that I work from. And then when a new project comes up, I just decide, is it one of the three? And then I work from there.
All right. So you have the three pillars on which you work. The first one is that the project is paying well, it's good. And the second thing, that the exposure that you get. Or third thing, simply if you don't get about things, you get a learning. You get something to experience new.
Yeah, absolutely. You're learning. You're growing. You're not stuck in that rut. You're not doing the same thing that you're always doing. You're actually growing and changing. Because photography is forever growing and forever changing.
Well, that was it for today. Now we meet on next Saturday. Until we meet, take care, be happy, and most importantly, be full of Josh. Thank you.